Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the morning sports briefing here on Tuesday, the 14th of July. England laments batsman's starts. Man City back in Europe. Nathan Brown drops out of Warriors race. Will the USC return to New Zealand? Lightning strikes twice in the ANZ Premiership. And Dixon finally beaten. Yes, a bumper load of news this morning here on New Zealand Sports Radio, where it's your best way to start the day up to date with all the important sports news. And let's get into it with the on the EPL. Yeah, Man City have overturned their two-year ban in Europe, and they've been cleared of, quote, disgusting equity fund, disguising equity funds as sponsorship contributions. The CAS, or the Court of Arbitration for Sport, has overturned their serious breaches of financial fair play. Their fine has been cut from 30 million euros to 10 million euros. They have had their ban overturned so they can play in the Champions League next season. They were found to have been obstructing the investigation, but they have been cleared of their of breaking the rules. Just right now, the Man United versus Southampton should be kicking off over there in the EPL, and we'll bring you that result tomorrow. The final result in from the weekend saw Verbesk and Naaman Gordon fight out a nil-all draw in the Belarusian Premier League. And on Wednesday morning, our time, I think it is, Dynamo Brest versus Slutz will play the last game of round 17. In the Belarusian Premier League. Not sure why that one got delayed to the middle of the week. Now we'll hand you over to Ashwin, who will take us through our cricket update.
Good morning, Paul, and good morning to all our listeners and viewers out there on the interweb. And yes, Chris Silverwood, head coach of the England cricket team, believes it was a failure of the England batsmen to capitalise on starts that was the biggest factor in their first test loss to the West Indies. Whilst there is debate around the decision at the toss and the selection of Mark Wood ahead of Stuart Broad, Silverwood believes the biggest factor was the batsmen making starts and not going on to make substantial scores, which was the biggest factor. He cites the second innings in particular, where they got themselves into a good position before they lost wickets in clumps. Meanwhile, Jermaine Blackwood's West Indies hero from the first test probably wouldn't have played if Darren Bravo and Shimron Hetmyer had not opted out of the tour. Jason Holder admitted he was not sure whether Blackwood would have been picked. Blackwood's 95 took the West Indies to the brink of victory on their way to the target of 200 runs. In saying that, Blackwood actually has an excellent record against England, averaging 55 from 7 tests, and was selected after leading the way in the West Indies domestic competition. And finally, Amy Satterthwaite, who we found out yesterday has missed out on the captaincy of the White Ferns, is obviously disappointed in missing out to Sophie Devine. Sophie Devine taking over, well, staying in the role, really, after getting the role when Satterthwaite went on paternity leave. Satterthwaite does return as the vice captain, and while she's disappointed not retaining the captaincy, she's delighted to be back in and around the team and just getting back to cricket in general. And it also leads to a great sort of experienced team within the White Ferns, with Sophie Devine as captain and Amy Satterthwaite vice captain, and obviously Bates as well around there in that senior management of the team going forward into the World Cup next year, should it go ahead. And Paul, that's our cricket news for today.
Thank you very much, Ashwin, for our update on the cricket. I'm going to hand you over to Stephen, who's going to take us through our birthdays this morning.
Yes, thank you, Paul, and good morning, everybody tuning into New Zealand Sports Radio and birthdays this morning. A former Crusaders prop now coaching a New Zealand women's Black Sticks Commonwealth Games rep, and finally a New Zealand-born Samoan who went on to play for Australia, and that's where we start this morning. Digby Ioane, born this day, the 14th of July, 1985, is an Australian professional rugby union footballer playing for the Panasonic Wild Knights in the Japanese Top League. He previously played for Stade Francais, the Western Force, the Queensland Reds, and the Crusaders. He also played international representative test rugby for the Wallabies. Ioane was born in Wellington, New Zealand, but moved to Melbourne with his family when he was 2 years old. His family are of Samoan heritage, those poaching Aussies. On a carton, Nee Dillon, born this day, the 14th of July, 1982, in Blenheim, is a field hockey player from New Zealand. She has competed for New Zealand women's national hockey team since 2004, including the team at the 2006 Commonwealth Games in Melbourne, Australia, the 2004 Champions Trophy Tournament in Rosario, Argentina, and the 2006 Champions Trophy tournaments in Amstelveen, Netherlands. Carter is the wife of All Black great Dan Carter. And finally, Dave Hewitt, born this day, the 14th of July, 1971, is a former rugby union player from New Zealand, currently working as coach, whose usual position was prop. He played for the Crusaders in Super Rugby and for Canterbury back in the old Air New Zealand Cup. He made his debut for the All Blacks at the age of 30 in November 2001 against Ireland and won 22 full caps for the national team, scoring two tries. Hewitt had a brief three-game spell with the Welsh regional team Llanelli Scarlets during the 2004-2005 season. He went on playing in the tournament, now basically at CCS Scarlets during the 2004-2005 Celtic League season, then went on playing the same tournament for Edinburgh until 2007, his last year as a professional. That's a good age to make your debut as a prop, isn't it, Paul? You're pretty much hardened and you know all the dark arts at that age.
Knowing all the dark arts is definitely a good skill for props, absolutely. Get these youngsters out and let's let the old boys teach them how it's done properly, I say. Moving on then into netball. And this time last week, we were talking about a very, very rare result. It was a 46-all between the Magic and the Stars. And here we are a week on, and we're going to be talking about something very, very similar, including one of those teams, because the Magic have been involved again. The Tactics versus the Magic last night fought out a 64-all draw. Now, draws are rare enough in netball because normally there is extra time, but to have the exact same score a week later, wow, Lightning really has strike twice. As we said before, draws are so rare they don't even exist on the table, of the official table for this one. So, again, it'll look like teams that they haven't counted all the games, but they have, folks, and there are extra points in there. This one wasn't quite as the Tactics took the lead early on, just for the Magic to fight back and even things up at half time. A very low scoring third quarter, only 16 points in that quarter between the two teams. They'd got 25 points in the other quarters. So, yeah, really tough third quarter for both teams. That Magic pulled out a two-point lead, only for the tactics to come back and even things up. So, yes, very close game between those two. That now means that the ladder sees the Central Pulse still top of the table. The Mystics in second with 17 points. The Northern Stars just 1 point behind them in third. And the Mainland Tactics another further point back in fourth. So 17, 16 and 15 points there. All of them are 7 points. I mean, there's a big 7-point gap to the top team, though. So, yes, getting tight there, fighting it out for that second place in the ANZ Premiership. We'll now hand you back to Stephen, who'll take us through our league update.
Thank you, Paul. Here's some interesting stories in league news this morning, and it's all about the coaches. The hunt to find a new Warriors coach remains a wild guessing game in a field which gets narrower and wider by the day. One thing is certain, Nathan Brown has dropped out of the race as the club prepares to head into the interview phase to find a permanent replacement for the sack, Stephen Kearney. But names also keep popping out of the woodwork. The latest is former Raiders, Cowboys and Titans coach Neil Henry. Brown, who has coached the Dragons, Knights and St. Helens, was one of the first names mentioned after the sacking of Steve Kearney. But there are always doubts over his availability, even though he had worked briefly under Kearney in Auckland as a specialist coach. The 46-year-old Brown, former Dragons hooker, has told the Warriors that the fit is not right at this stage, Chief Executive Cameron George confirmed. Melbourne assistant Jason Riles, who is about to join England rugby setup, is also reported by the Daily Telegraph to be unavailable for the Warriors job. Another rising coach, Craig Fitzgibbon from the Roosters, had earlier ruled himself out. Interim coach Todd Payton is believed to be winning a lot of support for the way he has handled the job over the three rounds since Kearney was sent packing. Payton's honesty with the players and clear communication style are major plus points. Payton, however, faces a huge test on Sunday when the Warriors face a Sharks team desperate to bounce back from an embarrassing performance against the high-flying Panthers. The Sharks are likely to be without injured prop Andrew Fifita, but were showing promising signs in the preceding weeks before being torn apart by a first-half Panthers blitz. The game takes on extra significance with Ken Mamalo, David Fusitua, Ignatius Pussy, and King Vuni Yayawa due to leave the Warriors camp afterwards because their families have been unable to join them in Australia. The loss of Mamalo in particular is a disaster. The Warriors already are talking to other clubs about loan replacements, beg your pardon. And speaking of coaches, well, Dean Pay has quit as Bulldogs coach with the team stranded in bottom place of the NRL ladder, according to reports. Pay's fate was set to be decided at a phone hookup today, and it looks as though last weekend's loss to the Broncos was his last in charge. Channel 9 claims that Pay, who has won just one game this season, has walked rather than being pushed. Yeah, right. It is expected that the club will make an official announcement on Tuesday, or that's today. It comes as Penrith have granted assistant coach Trent Barrett the freedom to speak to Canterbury. Canterbury have just won one game all season, and Pay, whose contract expires later this year, has come under increasing scrutiny. Barrett, whose last full-time coaching role was at Manly, headed to the foot of the mountains to work with Ivan Cleary at the end of last year. Yeah, definitely all about the coaches this morning. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Usually it's Tuesday naming for all the NRL sides, and we'll have the Warriors side. But also look out for Brad and Sanjay on Wednesday night on the standoff. And I'm pretty sure they'll have a bit more to say about that. Catch you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so, Stephen, with a coach whose contract's up at the end of the year, or this year, he might decide that, actually, you know what, it's not worth the stress, and the payout I'm going to get if I get sacked is not going to be that much, so I might as well walk at this point. If you've got a multi-year contract, you don't walk, maybe, you wait for the payout. Maybe. So, yeah, maybe he has walked on that one.
Maybe, yeah, sounds like a common sense thing to do as well, because, you know, what's the point in virtually agonizing it? I can't see them getting into any sort of playoffs in the position that they are at the moment. They really are in a hole.
Yeah, it was coming sooner or later, wasn't it? Moving, you are listening to New Zealand Sports Radio. Scott Dixon over in the IndyCar Championship in the USA came 12th in the second race of the Wisconsin doubleheader. This ended his run of three wins to start the season. The first person to do this since 2006, when Simon Pinot did the same thing. But don't worry, his team, Chip Ganassi, managed to still win the race because Scott Dixon's teammate Felix Rosquist won the race there. This does mean now that Scott Dixon clearly has got a big lead in the championship on 173 points, whilst Colton Herta, who is second, is on 119 points. So, yes, so still looking very comfortable, obviously. Still early in the season there over in the IndyCar, but looked a very good start by Scott Dixon. As Stephen brought us up today, yesterday the UFC had its first tournament outside of the USA at some Fight Island at the weekend. And afterwards, the UFC president, Dana White, said there was possibility of they could return down under because he's been keeping an eye on. He said that I've been hearing things. I'm hearing in New Zealand they are doing things with fans, so it's possible. Clearly, very very early stages there. But so the UFC think could return down under to New Zealand or Australia to host something down here. The problem with it is that apparently the last time they came to New Zealand, 166 people, be that fighters and staff, were flown in for the event. Now, that would obviously is a lot of people to come through quarantine. But who knows, perhaps they'll be able to find other ways of dealing with that that doesn't require quite so many people to come in. And maybe we'll see a UFC event in New Zealand sometime soon. The Sals NBL took a break last night, but some big games this evening. The top three are all in action. The Franklin Bulls will take on the Auckland Huskies, where I think most people are expecting the Bulls to come away with the win there. That will put pressure on the Taranaki Mountain Airs, as they will be on equal points with them. And the Nelson Airs are playing second place Otago Nuggets. So a real big game in the second of the two games this evening in the Sals NBL. We will bring you all the updates on those scores tomorrow here on New Zealand Sports Radio. Don't forget, you can listen to New Zealand Sports Radio on the move. Just download our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Acast, or your favourite podcatcher. You have now started the day the best way, up to speed with all of the important sports news. Have a wonderful day, folks, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.